So good. I'm happy to be in his house. I was wondering if I was going to be in his house all night, but I told God, I said, Lord, you're going to have to make me well able. And God is able to make us well able because he's well able. I think I had a little bit of food poisoning or something. I've never had food poisoning before. And I think that that's what I had. It just kind of has had me doubled over. It started at about 9:30 and it has gone on throughout the duration of the morning. But, you know, I've watched people answer the call many, many times. And what they would do is they would be faithful and they would just do what they were supposed to do. And I would watch people, whether or not they were singing on the stage or preaching or whatever. But I believe in divine healing personally. And I think that by the time I get done preaching this message, God's going to make me completely well. And so I just stand in faith. I'm going to ask you all to stand in faith this morning. You know, every week that we stand, I always have this knowing inside of my heart that when I stand up, I know and I wholeheartedly believe that God is meeting me right where I stand. He's meeting you right where you stand. If I could have our great praying music, that would be fabulous. Gentlemen. And so, you know, if you have had difficulty this week, if you've had financial trouble this week, if you've had trouble in your health, maybe you've had to hear some things from a doctor you didn't want to hear about yourself, I want you to know that you serve the great physician and he is still working miracles inside of the bodies of his children. If you're facing problems in your relationships, in your families, I want you to know that God is well able. And so as I begin to speak and pray this morning, I want you to raise your hands if you've got an area in your life where you say, I need God to meet me in this place. If he doesn't meet me, I don't know what I'm going to do. Lord, for every hand raised, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I declare right now, God, that there's a resolve coming to each one right now. Lord, you know every single hand that's lifted up. God, I don't have to know it because, God, you know. And you know the very detailed thing that we're relying on. And so, God, I thank you right now. That's the only thing that's left to do is begin to thank you and to praise you. I thank you for answered prayers right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God is so good. We are going to have a great pool party. We're going to serve burgers. Last time, I think we served all hot dogs. And where there will be people, there will be griping. People always ask me, how do you make it in the people business? Well, let me tell you, there's just stuff about people I know. Wherever there's people, there's going to be trouble, and there's going to be people not getting along, and there's going to be people griping. And so those are the three main areas that I know about the people business. But, you know, one of the highlights and the most fascinating things about being in the people business and working for God is that you also get to see people change every single day. And if you wake up and you still believe that people can change, God will use you to help you change them. And so I'm happy to be here this morning. Let's go to John chapter 6. Yeah. We'll start out here at 5:30 this evening. We'll have a short worship service, but over at the pool, all are welcome to go. It's 6 to 8 p.m. We'll have hamburgers and cheeseburgers and all the nice things that go along with the Parish Christian Center pool party. We're going to be in John chapter 6. And we're going to begin to read at verse 60 through 70. And I'm going to kind of set the stage for this message that I'm going to minister about this week. It's kind of been an aroma. And it was something that I knew at some point that I would preach about, because when God has me to preach about something, he'll keep bringing it up to me. And I'll keep seeing different instances of why a message needs to be preached. And it's about something that we all do and that is all done towards us, and it's taking offense. Taking offense. And I have preached several messages during my pastorship about being offended or having yourself offend someone else. And what I can tell you is that there, as God is my witness, I wholeheartedly believe there is not a problem that I could have that I could not open the Word of God and find the answer. That's just how detailed of a God that we have. Everything that you have ever faced, everything that you ever will face in hardship, in tribulation, there's an answer for it in the Word. And that's why in the Psalms, David said, Lord, your Word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Once you begin to plant the Word inside of your life, when trouble times come, that part of the Word that knows that you need to be healed, see those healing verses, that's going to that part of your life. Once you know the Word and your life is in disaster and you need a victory, those victory scriptures, that victory is going to that part of your life. See, the Word of God is living and it's active. And because it's living and because it's active, when we plant it, it comes to life. It begins to go into the parts of our life that need it the most. And that's why I always say it's not necessarily about how much verses and Bible you can read in a day. It's about what can I plant inside of my life and inside of my soul? What can I get in there that I can hold on to and understand? And so we're going to be seeing how to overlook offenses, how to deal with offenses. I'll just tell you, I'm a very, tell it like it is, pastor. I find myself getting offended at times. Or even more so, I find myself offending others at times. And that's just something that happens in leadership. You're going to offend people. And most of the people I offend, I don't even know I offend them. But nonetheless, we have to figure out, what do I do when I'm offended? Or what do I do when I've offended somebody else? So John chapter 6, we're going to begin to read at verse 60. And right now there's a lot of, in this part of the Word, there was a lot of grumbling and complaining and discord because Jesus had told everybody, he was talking about the fact that he was the bread of life and he was explaining what he was. And people were like, well, how can he say? He's just, you know, the son of Mary and Joseph. How can he say that he's this and that he's that? And you know what? People are going to always talk a little smack. That's just the reality of it. Everybody know what smack talk is? From beginning of time till the end of time, until Jesus comes back, people are going to talk smack. They were doing it in the Bible. They're still doing it today. There is nothing new under the sun. So in verse 60, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? You know, and still today, there's still some very hard concepts in the Word of God that it's hard for people to accept. It's hard for people to accept. God wants my life. God wants my choices. God wants my failures. God wants all of my successes. God wants my heart. God wants my soul. You know, there's some things that it is hard to accept, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't accept it. There's hard things, but they are what they are. And it says here, aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Does this offend you? So he's got his disciples there. That baby's not bothering me at all. But if you want to take her right in there, there's a light switch. You can do whatever you want to do. And we're all used to kids because all of our kids have done the same thing. And so he asked the disciples, does this offend you? Now I want to just say, sometimes in the way that Jesus communicated, if we could just observe how he dealt with people, how he communicated with people, we could learn a whole lot because this world is not full of good communicators. What you see now is you see families going out to eat and they're all on their phone and nobody is talking at the dinner table. No, nobody's anything. A lot of times when I see kids hanging out, I'm like, what are they doing? They're all sitting on a couch or something, and they've all got their phones out, and they're all texting each other instead of just talking to each other. And it's just crazy to me. But so we're going to go over it one more time because I want you to catch it. It says, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Verse 61, aware that his disciples were grumbling. See, Jesus was aware of they were talking, they were grumbling, they were complaining. He knows what people do. Aware of that, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you?" Now, what happens too many times is people get offended and they won't just come out and say to the person that offended them, "You offended me," or "I got offended at what you said. Maybe I misunderstood you, but you got me offended." Right? If we could literally look at how Jesus communicated with people and imitated how he did it, the world would be a lot better place. And he says to him, "Does this offend you?" And he asked him point blank. He didn't wait for a week to see if they were going to not talk to him or not. He didn't wait around to see if he saw him whispering to everybody else about how offended they were. He didn't mealy-mouth around. He just went right up to him and he said, "Well, I hear you're grumbling. Does this offend you?" There's times where we know that we offend people and we should try to make that right in that moment. There's times where we have become offended by someone else and they probably don't know from Adam that they offended us, but you know, you do much better if something sticks in your craw and you can't get it out of your craw and you're going to keep it and nurse it and get bitter over it. You do better, your mental health would do better, as if you just come out with it and say, "Hey, I don't know what you meant by this, but when you said this, it kind of hurt my feelings or it kind of offended me, kind of made me mad, kind of made me get irritated with you." So it says, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus had known from the very beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. And he went on to say, 'This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him.' And from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." For that reason. See, so many times we are offended when people leave our friendship. We are offended when people leave our church. We are offended when people leave us in life. We are offended when they turn back and they go a different direction than what we were going. And here's what I want to say about that. Not everybody was meant to make it with you to the end. Not all your friends are going to be good for you 20 years from now. But what I can say is the ones that's not, if you'll let him remove them, God will put fresh people in your life to get you further along in life, and he'll do the same with the people that he removed out of your life. But see, we can't get offended when people decide that it's time for them to move on. Does it hurt? Yes, it does. It absolutely does. A few months ago, somebody looked me right in the face after I pretty well had just poured my whole pastorship into them. Everything that I thought I was, I poured into these people, and just looked at me and just very lightly said, "Well, I feel like I need to change churches." And in that moment, there was a part of me that was very broken. But then there was a part of the God part of me that said, "Kelly, let it go. Let it go." Because you know what? Sometimes people need to know what it's like to go when they weren't supposed to go. Sometimes it's time to go. Many times it's not. God has placed each member in the body as he sees fit. As he sees fit. You know how many times people have gotten offended at me and the first thing that they said, "I'm quitting the church." Let me tell you something. If that's your go-to thing with your pastor or your boss or whatever, Shame on you, because see, God has placed all authority. It has been placed by God, and God can't bless somebody with that type of an attitude. I see baby Christians do it. I see people that claim to be saved for 30, 40 years. Every time they get mad, I'm quitting the church. There comes a point where I hear that too many times, and I tell them, quit. Go. You know why? Because that is not going to get off on me to where I cannot minister. Your calling and what you were put here to do is so important that you can't afford to keep offenses, because they are going to cripple you and not let you do what you were called to do. If you're offended, God's going to have a hard time using you. Let me say that one more time. If you're offended all the time at something, somebody, you can't go to Thanksgiving dinner because you can't stand your Aunt Sadie and she's terrible and her dog's terrible and this one's... you look here. If you can't get yourself unoffended, God will have a very hard time using you to do anything. Why? Because, see, even David said, Lord, give me a clean heart and put a right spirit up inside of me. Why did he say that? Because he knew he was in a wrong spirit. And we're in the wrong. It's not wrong to be offended, but it's wrong to keep the offense. Things are going to upset you. Things are going to nick you. Things are going to whatever. And to turn it around, you're going to upset people. You're going to nick them. You're going to hurt them. And that's a part of humanity. But what we cannot do is hold on to them. Because if you do, they will get a hold of you and won't let you go. You'll have a hard time and you'll get bitter over things. And so in here it says, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. And from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. And what I would say to you is, you know what? When someone's season is over in your life, let it be. Let it be. You can't make people be for you. You can't make them love you. You can't make them be loyal to you. They either are or they aren't. But what you can't do is be hurting all the time over it, and offended and upset and agitated. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12, and Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. And then Jesus replied, have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. Now, can you imagine having a conversation? You've got 12 people that you've handpicked and you love them, and they're telling you how much they love you, and you say, well, I love y'all too, but one of you is the devil. One of you is just terrible. That's what he said. And he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. And you know, sometimes we know things about people. There's people. And Paul, if I'm not careful, I'm easily offended by them. There's just a part of their personality that doesn't quite jive and jive with my personality, and so there's a clash. So what I have to do, if I'm intelligent, is understand that there's a possibility that any time we get together, we're liable to do this. So what I'm supposed to do is be smart enough to guard my heart enough to not get offended over it. You follow me? Now, one of the things that I love about Jesus is he called it like it was, and he said, you know what, you're one of the ones, you're not good, but I love you. And you know, one of the amazing things about him is he let Judas sit at his table and eat, and he didn't treat him any different. Not everybody that sits at your table is going to be what they tell you they are. But you know what? Be wise enough to not let yourself get all upset over that. Jesus knew he was going to betray him. He didn't say, well, I know you're going to do this to me in the end, so no, you're going to sit outside while the rest of us sit here and have the Passover. He didn't do that. He loved him, but he knew what he was going to do. He did not let himself get offended over that and irritated. He just had a knowing. He had a knowing. Go with me now to Proverbs chapter 19. We're going to talk about some things that are going to help you to shake off offenses and to not let them stick inside of you. Proverbs chapter 19, we're going to look at verse 11. A man's wisdom gives him patience. We're going to break this verse down, so I'm going to talk about the first part of it. A man's wisdom gives him patience. You know, there's things that I used to would make rushed decisions on, and they turned around and bit me right in the rear, and I don't make them same kind of rushed decisions anymore. Why? Because I've wisened up a little bit better, and I know that the wisdom inside of me that has had that experience and a bad experience for making a rushed decision, I know there's some things that I'm going to have to be patient about. The Manna Center. The old Kelly 5 years ago would have been on them, calling them every other day. What you doing? What's happening? What's this? What's that? I'm no more concerned with that than the man in the moon. Because it wasn't my idea to begin with. And I've told God many, many times, Lord, the timing of that is in your hands. I'm not going to lose my good sense over getting impatient and trying to make something happen. When we try to make something happen, usually that's when the wrong thing happens. Usually when we try to make something happen, usually that's when the wrong thing happens. And then we're sitting around and we're going, how did that happen? Well, we were so busy trying to make it happen and push it through and get it going that we stepped in the way of God and His perfect timing, and we got something started that was never in God's will for our lives to begin with. And I have personally done that many times. I did it with a car one time. Bought the car. Didn't ask my spouse nothing about it. I thought, I don't need his approval or his opinion. I'm getting it. Well, the thing blew up with me in it, driving down the interstate. God said, Kelly, you better think that over. This was the wrong decision. Now, did God work it out for my good in the end? Yeah, He did. But I could have saved a lot of heartache and irritation and fatigue and fear. A man's wisdom gives him patience. What I've noticed is that people are not patient with each other anymore. And that's one of the things that leads to offenses. People aren't patient with each other anymore. They don't have a lot of grace for people anymore. They don't have a lot of understanding for people anymore. It won't be too long. I'm going to preach a message about empathy because a lot of people don't have it. And empathy to me can be best described as, can you put yourself in the shoes of someone else and begin to try to understand where they could be coming from? Because a lot of times we rush to get mad at them, we rush to talk about them, we rush to gossip about them, but we haven't rushed to try to understand them, try to see where they could be coming from. All of these things lead to offenses, especially in the body of Christ. I'll get offended at somebody. I was offended a few weeks ago. And when I get offended, I'm the biggest fit pitcher I know. And everybody has an inner two-year-old in them. I don't care how old you are. Everybody's got that toddler in there that's going to show out, get on the floor, kick around, scream, cry, act like a fool. We all got that toddler in there. I hate to tell you. We all got it. I went out to, we've got a little outside pavilion that I like to sit in. I got myself a zero gravity chair and I leaned back. I was madder than a wet hen. I said, God, I can't stand that person. God said, Kelly, now you don't mean that. I said, no, I do. He said, no, you don't. And then he began to talk to me about this person. And as I just leaned back, there was just a breeze that kind of went over me. And I believe that that was the Holy Spirit, because right when that breeze hit me, Johnny, I began to be able to see what that person's life was like for them and why they were the way that they were. And I began to tell God, God, you know what? That person's probably really hurting in their life. They're probably this and they're probably that. And I begin to reason with them. I begin to understand where they could be coming from. I encourage each and every single one of you to get that part where you're not quick to judge people, but you're quick to just try to level with them and say, you know what? I can understand maybe why you feel the way that you do. Now, you can't understand everybody, but you can try. You can try to see where someone's coming from. So it says, a man's wisdom gives him patience, and it is to his glory to overlook an offense. It is to his glory, not God's glory. It's to God's glory too. But it's to his glory to look and to overlook an offense. How many of you know what glory is? Who's got a smartphone on here, on with them? Who's got a smartphone? Somebody Google up what glory means. Everybody in church acting like they ain't got a phone. Look. To his credit. We're going to read the exact definition about what glory means. Who's got it? It. We're going to read it out loud. High renown or honor won by notable achievements, to fight and die for the glory of one's nation, magnificence or great beauty, to take great pride or pleasure in. So it's to your glory to overlook an offense. To your glory. When you feel that coming over you and you want to get offended, and you have that choice, it's like the golden choice. Now, am I going to let this stick, or am I going to let it go? Now, a lot of times we let it stick and we keep on to it. But God fills you with power and anointing every time you choose to overlook it. Doesn't matter if you were in the right. Doesn't matter if you were in the wrong. If you can learn to overlook an offense. You know, a lot of people can't overlook anything about anybody else. They want everything else overlooked in their life. But they ain't going to let nobody else slide. We got to go back to that part where it says, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Overlook it. Overlook it. You know, a lot of times I offend people and I don't even mean to. It just kind of comes with the territory. But when I realize that I've offended somebody and I truly didn't mean to, many times I'll just say, you know, I didn't even think of it that way. Please forgive me. I wasn't trying to offend you. Doesn't have to be some long educated answer that you had to go get a PhD for. Just be real. Say, you know what? I didn't mean to offend you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Many things are not to be rushed. We need to be patient in our life, our relationships with others. It's for our good to overlook an offense. God gives us opportunities for advancements like this. Every time you get the opportunity to be offended, and you don't, and you overlook it, it's like going up a level. See, who can God trust with what? Sometimes when I get stressed about something with the church, Tanya, God will say, now, Kelly, if you can't handle 100 people, I can't give you 200 people. Why are you letting this stick inside of you? Look here. If you can't handle 5 friends because you can't stand none of them, God ain't going to give you any more. We're very fickle. We'll ask God for something, and then we'll gripe about it. We'll get offended over it. Well, this and well, that. We need to just grow up. Be like, God, I'm just being ridiculous. I'm sorry. Go with me now to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 19 through 22. So wisdom gives you patience. And we just read that. Now we're going to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We're going to look in verses 19 through 22. We're going to see what else wisdom does. Wisdom makes one wise man more powerful than 10 rulers in a city. So wisdom will make you powerful. Now the question is, are you smart enough to not get offended at every little cotton-picking thing that you can get offended about in your life? Because if you can overlook an offense, it says here, wisdom makes one wise man more powerful than 10 rulers in a city. So many people pray for God's power, for God's anointing, for His direction, for His favor. They need to ask God for His wisdom. Because right there, when you ask God for wisdom, He's going to give you power. He gives you patience. You want the power of God? Seek out wisdom. Seek it out. There is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. So many times when we're offended at other people, we do something, and it just makes me laugh because I do it too. We get self-righteous. No amens. Well, let me tell you, I'm your pastor, and I know we all get there. We get a little self-righteous when it comes to other folks. Now, when it comes to us, we're looking at our lives through little sweet Mickey Mouse goggles. But when we're looking at other people, we're like ready to crack down the whip on them, crucify them, throw them out to the dogs, and be done with them. But the Bible acknowledges there is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. Now, what does that tell you? There is not one person on earth with breath in their lungs still that's going to do everything right all the time. So when we want to get offended at other people, what we're going to have to understand is that other person cannot get it right all the time because we are dealing with people. And people, they go through things that we don't understand. Everybody that we encounter in a day, they are all going through their own battles in their own lives that probably they can't even talk about because it's so traumatic for them. And here we are some days, and if they don't smile at us right, well, we're all offended. Well, get over it. Because if you knew what they were going through, you probably wouldn't smile real great either. there isn't anybody that's going to get this right all the time. There isn't anybody that's going to just have the perfect, sweetest answer all the time. Nobody is going to have that. You can try to have it, and that's a good goal. Cut people some slack. Cut them some slack. Here's what I've been doing. It's been working. I've been able to overlook a couple of offenses. A couple. Okay? And here's what I've told God, Jill. Lord, I just want you to make a mental note up there, God, that I overlooked that offense. So I'm expecting that to go into my reserve for when I really offend the heck out of somebody, because I'm going to want some of that grace poured back into my life, and I'm going to need some people to overlook when I offend them. Because I know that's on the way. Do not pay attention to every word that people say. Do not pay attention to every word that people say. People say all kinds of things. You don't need to pay attention to everything that they say. Because sometimes they're just having a bad day and that's all there is to it. No, they don't hate you. No, they ain't mad at you. They're just having a bad day. You can't pay attention to everything everybody says. Frank told me that the other day. He said, I'm just having to learn. I can't pay attention to everything you say. You know why? Because I say some crazy stuff sometimes. And I get off on a tangent and I could start over here and I could be in the wild blue yonder by nightfall. And you know what I thought? Thank God he don't pay attention to everything I say. That wouldn't be good for nobody. Do not pay attention to every word that people say. That's going to help you to not get offended so much. Or you may hear your servant cursing you, for you know in your heart that many times you yourself have cursed others. There's times I've seen this happen over and over and over. People will be in a little group setting over here, and they'll be talking about somebody. And somebody that they're talking about will come up and realize that they're talking about them or whatever. That's right. They get all offended anyway. Have you ever walked up to a crowd of people and you were being talked about and you knew it? Has that ever happened to anybody? How pleasant was that? It wasn't real pleasant. Well, guess what? You know yourself that you've done that to other people. We got to be able to realize that the same things that we get offended at others for, we've done that same thing. Now we can grow from it and we can say, you know what, I'm not going to do that kind of thing anymore. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 15 through 18. Now, sometimes what happens with people and why they get offended, you find a politically correct way to say this. Everybody is going to have an opinion about everybody else. Have you lived long enough to know that? Opinions are just opinions. I remember one time a couple years ago when I was picking Dwayne's little kiddos up and I was taking them to school with my kiddos. A little Alea goes, Pastor Kelly, guess what they're teaching me in school? I said, what? She goes, about how to have opinions. I looked over at Dwayne. I said, she's never going to be the same after this. What do you mean they're teaching them how to have opinions at school? I have to call that principal and tell them to stop teaching them that. Everybody's going to have an opinion about your life and what you're doing in your life. Now, let's flip that around. Most people are going to have an opinion about everybody else's life. They don't like it when somebody wants to butt their opinion into theirs, but by golly, they'll do that till the sun comes down and comes up and all the other things. Let's read it from God's Word. The way of a fool seems right to him. There's sometimes, here's two scenarios. There's sometimes you're being a fool, and what you're doing, it is wrong. And people are trying to help you, and they're trying to put into your life, and you're getting offended because they're putting their two cents in. We've all been there, right? That's when they're doing it to us. There's times where we see someone, and we have an opinion about what they're doing, and we want to go and we want to say, well, here's my opinion and here's this and here's that. The way of a fool seems right to them. There's things that I've done, they were very foolish. There's things that I've thought about other people's life and I didn't know exactly what was going on with them. And my opinion was foolish because I didn't have all the facts. We don't have all the facts of other people's life. A lot of times, unless they ask you, it's a good thing to just keep your mouth shut. It's going to help the offenses go way down. But a wise man listens to advice. I said a few Sundays ago, everybody needs a board of advisors that sit on their life, people that they trust, that aren't just yes men and going to tell you what you want to hear, but people that will be honest and they love you more than they love hearing, you know, them telling you everything you want to hear, that will speak into your life the truth no matter what. A wise man listens to advice. Sometimes you're offended because somebody's really just trying to help you and you think that you know it all. I'm going to say that one more time. Sometimes you're offended because somebody's just trying to help you and you think you know it all, so you don't want their help. And then you get a couple months down the road and you were thinking, oh my gosh, I wish I would have listened to them. They knew what they were talking about. Now I can preach this because I've lived it. Pastor Kelly, four and a half years ago, when Dad would try to give me advice about pastor, and I didn't want that advice. Why? Well, because I thought I knew it all. That's why. I shortly realized I didn't know squat. Now most of the time when he wants to give me advice, I just put my ears back and shut up and listen to him. Why? Because he's got stuff inside of him, the anointing that he can pour into my life, Rita, and save me a lot of bad experiences. See, there's things that God has put, there's people God's put in your life, and you're so offended by them, and you shouldn't be because they've been placed there by God to help you, and you're getting offended when what you should do is take that and say, thank you, God, for loving me enough that you've sent somebody along to put something inside of me like that, and the part of me that's offended, God, help me to get that lined out, because God, that is not from you. Amen. God doesn't want us kids over here being offended. How many of you got grown kids? I want to see all the people that's got grown kids. Let's do a poll. How many of your grown kids have ever gotten into it and here you've had to deal with your grown kids' arguments?
Amen.
Now, isn't that frustrating? I wouldn't know because I don't have them yet, but I know how my parents probably feel when us girls get into it. There's times where he'll mention one of my sister's names. I'll say, well, I'm not speaking to them.
Glory to God.
No. Nope, and do not put my chair by them at Thanksgiving either. God's gone. Now look, God don't want his kids down here squabbling all the time. get in their little drawers in an uproar all the time. People are offended all the time. And for what? Stupid stuff. Let's just get over that and be good little Christian adults. Amen? Sister Melissa's like, I can get down with this message. So, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man or a wise man overlooks an insult. A lot of times we're offended at people because we feel like they've insulted us. Well, do they think I'm stupid? Well, no, they just think that you don't know what you're doing, because you don't.
Glory to God. Amen.
There's been a lot of times Frank has tried to show me something around the house, and I've just looked at him, and I would say, well, do you think I'm just dumb?
Glory to God.
No, I don't. I'm just trying to help you to let you know how to pick the cucumbers off there the right way so they'll grow back. No, baby, I don't think you're dumb. You're brilliant. Well, good. Don't insult me. Bless Brother Frank, yes. But a lot of times we're offended because we feel insulted. And that insult isn't the other person's fault. It's an insecurity in your life. When you feel insulted, what you really are is insecure. Amen? I'm going to say that one more time. I feel like God wants to plant that inside of my heart, inside of everybody else's. Many, many times when you feel insulted, God's really just trying to show you that you're insecure about that area of your life. And he wants to get you to a point where you don't have to feel insecure about that no more.
Amen.
Took me 4 years to not be insulted when some man would sit and walk out when he realized I was a pastor and not a man. I finally passed that test last Sunday. I couldn't have been more thrilled to see that guy leave. Like, praise God. You didn't waste 45 minutes of your time, dude. And you didn't waste mine either. Good for you. But see, God will continue to give you opportunities to go to the next level. Now, if you keep failing those opportunities, that's on you. But he'll give them to you over and over and over. And they're not tests. Necessarily, they're opportunities to get it right. And when you get it right, he's not bothering me. When you can get it right, you're going to come up and up and up. When you can overlook some things, overlook it. Not everybody's against you trying to do something to you. They're just trying to go on with their life and do their life, and they've probably gotten in your lane a little bit and it's irritated you, but don't get offended at them. We've lost the ability to overlook anything. Go with me now to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 12. I hope this is doing y'all some good. God sure doesn't want his kids all offended and ruffled up all the time. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. See, when God describes you in his word, he says, those are my chosen people. You were chosen. You weren't overlooked. You weren't an accident. You weren't a regret. You were chosen. And you're holy and you're dearly loved. And so he gives us a command. Clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility, gentleness and patience. Verse 13, very important. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. And it not only tells you to forgive, but in this next part of the verse, it's going to tell you how to forgive. Forgive just as the Lord forgave you. So when you're having trouble and someone has offended you and you're having trouble getting over it and you know that God says forgive and you're going, well, God, how could I forgive them? They were just so awful to me. You know how you forgive? Exactly the way that God has forgiven you so many times. How does he forgive? He throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. He does not continue to bring it up. He no longer sits there and thinks about it and dwells on it. It's done and it's over. That's how we should forgive others. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. You know, you've been called to peace. God has not called you to live in strife, but he's called you to live in peace. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Verse 17, and whatever you do, whether it's in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, I don't know what kind of people I've got in here today. I know all of y'all, and I love all of you, but I'm not going to be all up in your business. You know better than anybody else if you're somebody that's easily offended or not. And that's something that's between you and God. But I want to encourage you with this right here. If you're not very good at overlooking an offense or overlooking an insult, I want to tell you that God has given you everything that you need to be able to get better at it. You've got what it takes to thrive in that area. A few days ago, I saw somebody, and I saw immediately there was an offense. You know, you can literally see an offense when it comes. And I began to pray for this person right when I saw it, and I said, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over that person. God, help them to just catch their self. Help them to catch it. Well, Melissa, I saw just an instant turnaround right there within just a matter of a couple minutes. And I saw that person do what very few people will do and just say, you know what, I'm going to lay this down. I'm not going to hold on to this offense. Look here, God will bless that person that says, oh, I started to get offended, but I backed up. Because you know what, offense doesn't have a place in my life. The devil wants to push it in on me all the time, but you know what? You've got what it takes to overlook it, to let it brush right off. If you need help this morning to be able to brush off offenses, maybe you're just in a part of your life where it's hard and you feel like more people are against you than with you, I'm going to ask you to stand, because, see, God doesn't want you upset all the time. He doesn't want you offended all the time. Doesn't want you frustrated all the time. Doesn't want you feeling like people are just don't like you. Those are weapons that the enemy uses. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over every person, God, that has responded to your word. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we excel in this area. God, I thank you that we excel in this area. God, make us people that we can overlook an offense, God. It's to our glory and your glory, God, for us to do that. So, Lord, I ask that you'd step in. God, make us more graceful. Make us more merciful to people that we don't understand. In Jesus' name, amen.